So now is the time for our Bible reading this morning. We'll be reading from Colossians 1 and the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So as I said just earlier in the service this morning, the big question that we really want to wrestle with this morning is, can we actually come out of this pandemic better than we did before? Is it possible to grow through this experience? And what does better look like? As we turn to the book of Colossians, it's written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul the Apostle, he was greatly motivated to see this church at Colossae to grow. And for him to see a community of believers grow is actually, straight off the bat, we see his answer. For him to be better, to grow, is actually all about developing deeper roots, having a deeper faith, growing in maturity, if you like, having greater assurance of what Christ has done for you and I. We read this later on in chapter 1 from verse 28. There he says, him being Christ. So Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Just a little bit further on in chapter 2 from verse 2 to 3, he wants Christians to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then just a few verses later, in verse 7, he desires all Christians to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So there it is. Paul's very clear there. He wants us to be grounded in our faith in Christ, to become fully mature, to blossom as if a flower sort of blossoms in spring. Having greater assurance in the promises of what God has done for his people. And so when we turn to the first few verses of the letter, up to verse 14, he tackles this question in one particular way. And that is, he first shows us maturity in our prayers. I don't know about you, but over the last few months, I do wonder if you perhaps on more than one occasion have been driven to prayer yourself. I think it's true across our nation, There are many people that have turned to God in prayer during this time. Perhaps even for the first time in your life, praying to God for Him to save us and even preserve us in this present hardship. And you know what? As a community, you and I, we're no exceptions to this. One example of this is if you're on an email list, you would have received a number of daily devotions. And that's just to encourage us to be praying together as a community. And so as Paul opens this his letter to the Colossians, I guess his prayer can be like a really helpful model for us. You know, we could examine ourselves against what Paul's written here as a church community. And by the help of God's Spirit, we can understand what the next step of faith might be for us this morning. And so there are just really two main parts that I want to share with us this morning about his prayer. Up to verse 8 is really a prayer of thanksgiving, of thanks. And the second half from 9 through to 14 is a prayer of petition, requests, asking things from God. And so we're going to explore both of these parts together, and we'll begin with the part of thanksgiving. So as we look at this part of his prayer, the thanksgiving part, what we discover is that Christian maturity really includes this prayerful attitude of thanks, and indeed a whole outlook in life of thanks. This is not just a general sort of thankfulness, but a deep-seated thankfulness to God for what he's done. It's likely that Paul actually wrote this letter from a Roman prison. In verse 7, we hear this man, Epaphras. Epaphras was likely like the local evangelist, the founder and pastor of this church in Colossae. Before his imprisonment, Paul visited many places across the Roman Empire. And he was a missionary, he was a church planter, but none of these places, from what we can tell, was ever this place in Colossae. So this local group of Christian believers burst onto the scene of human history at the hand of other missionaries, other Christians, spearheaded by likely Epaphras. And so here, Epaphras is now visiting Paul, probably in prison, and giving him the goss, filling him in on the many happenings at this church in Colossae. And so upon hearing this, well, Paul, he's delighted. He's so thankful. Thankful in his prayers. But why exactly was he thankful? Well, as we read, we'll read again from verse 4 and 5. We'll just read that again. It says, "For we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for the saints, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven." You see, Paul was ecstatic by this, by what he heard about the state of these Christians here. And he replies in this wonderful trio of faith, love, and hope. You know, this trio appears in a number of his other letters. It's a distinctive mark, these three things, of a genuine and lively Christian community. And just at that, one that Paul had input into himself. But let's just dig a little bit deeper there. What exactly was he thankful for? And not just that, who, firstly, was he thankful to? Back in verse 3, we see Paul say he's thankful to God. I mean, that might seem like a really obvious thing for us this morning, but it's worth dwelling on. Paul doesn't see these marks of Christian maturity and suddenly start praising the people themselves for how good they are. No, he directs his thankfulness towards God. Why? Well, Paul understood that the only reason that this community existed in the first place was because God had worked in their midst. Paul understood that salvation is from God. It's not an act of man. And seeing this fruit, this mighty salvation, It should cause us to praise God, not man. You see, the Christian faith is really something that is often, so often, countercultural. Jesus often spoke of in his in the Gospels of, to be first, you must be last, and you must lose your life to gain it. I mean, what is he getting at there? It's showing that ultimately it's about God, our whole existence. We've been made in God's image, and we're made for the purpose of praising our God in heaven. And it's interesting, as you discover that, and as you take the focus off yourself and onto God, you actually find deep meaning there and then. That's the mystery of the Christian faith. But going on from that, let's dig down and see what specifically Paul was sort of thankful for here. Namely, as we said, their faith, love, and hope. And namely, their faith in Christ and their love for one another. And these things are built on the hope that they have in eternity, their eternal hope. So in other words, what's driving in this text, what's driving their faith and their love for one another is the fact that they have this newfound hope in what God has promised for them in the future. What are you thankful for this morning? If you and I had written this letter, I wonder what you and I might have written here. It's really interesting that Paul hasn't included things like their safety. He hasn't said, I'm so thankful that they're financially well off, or that they're overall really healthy, or that they've just got this general happiness about life. You know, he could have easily included any of these things, but he hasn't. Does that mean that these things are somehow not important? Does it mean that God doesn't care about our physical well-being? Well, of course not. God does care about these things. He's not ignorant of all our needs. After all, didn't Jesus feed, you know, the crowd of 5,000 or thousands of people with miraculously feeding them with bread and fish? He cares. He knows our physical needs. But what Paul's doing here is he's pointing to what's most important in life, what our greatest need is. And that really is, friends, a renewed heart. To have our deepest affections redirected towards what's most important, towards God, to love Him and show that in our love for others. In our current pandemic, this causes us to stop and consider, what are you and I thankful for during this time? Australia, I have to say, we've been so fortunate in combating how we've combated this virus. We've had very little fatalities in comparison to a lot of other countries, and our economy so far is strong enough to survive. I mean, that's amazing. And this should cause us to be thankful. We are thankful for these things. But far above even these things, what Paul's showing us here is that the mark of true Christian maturity is to be thankful for what's even greater than these things. To be thankful for our eternity, our hope that we have in God. To be counted amongst His sheep, amongst His fold, someone that He now shepherds as His people. For God's grace that has worked in your life to date. For the blessings of Christian community, even if it is uniquely challenging at this time to be able to be a community together. For fellow Christians who have sort of worked in your life at key points in your journey, in your story, and have benefited your faith. Those who are role models for you, and perhaps even are still role models today, and who you are still learning Christ from. You know, when we speak of this hope and the source of it, he goes on in verses 5 and 8 and really tells us what this is really all about. In the rest of his Thanksgiving prayer, we see the source of this eternal hope that drives the Christian Well, where does that come from? It comes from the gospel message itself. From halfway through verse 5, let's continue to read there. It says, "You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit." Even though Paul was likely writing this letter from prison, he could still be so thankful to God. Thankful for this message of the gospel and the impact that it was continuing to have throughout the whole world, even if he was in prison and no longer able to contribute the same way he used to. And you know, this same gospel message is what continues to work in our world today. I think of the ocean crashing in against the rocks progressively more and more as the high tide comes in. In a similar way, the gospel today continues to crash into our world, into every culture, into cities, into individual lives, right across the world. And this is true even in the midst of this very crisis that we face. So, fellow Christian, I want to ask you this morning, how's your heart going? Are you having trouble being thankful this morning? Do you find yourself perhaps discouraged, anxious, or just struggling in the current circumstances? If this is you, it is helpful to be reminded of this glorious gospel, of what God has done for you and what he's still doing for you, of how God has worked in your life up to today, of the eternal hope that you and I have. No matter what happens in this present life, our future is secured. So that's the first part of Paul's prayer, and this need of this Christian maturity being shown in this attitude of thankfulness. And now we turn to the second part, and it really talks about and shows us this attitude of ongoing prayer to God, asking for things, coming to him with our needs. Yeah, so just when I say petition, I mean sort of things that we ask for, our requests that we make known to God. And so as we look at these petitions and things that Paul is asking us and showing us how to come to God in prayer, he shows us that part of all this, deep down, it must include this awareness, this focus on what God is yet to do in us, what is yet to accomplish in you and I. Let's read again from verse 9. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." What does it mean to be filled? And why does a Christian need this? Well, verse 10 gives us the answer. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So that to be filled then is to be made complete, fully sanctified, fully redeemed, to live lives that are fully pleasing to God. For Paul, this was so important because he was aware that, you know, even though God had done so much for this church in Colossae, for these Christians, there was yet so much more that God was still going to do amongst them. And so part of being learning to be a mature Christian is having this ongoing sense and this awareness of areas in your life that you are yet to be made fully mature. You know, there's a temptation in our culture today that people in general, we've got to sort of appear like we've kind of got it all together. You know, when you ask the question, how are you going? What's the most likely response? I'm going okay. You know, it's so easy to give the impression that, well, I've got all things, everything together. But fellow Christian, isn't it true that we haven't? We all have our weaknesses. Perhaps it's deep-seated fears or anxieties or struggles with sin. What is it? Whatever it is for you. The truth is, the Christian life's more akin to a battlefield. And in particular in our current situation, it may actually show up some of this vulnerability. So for Paul, a part of this Christian maturity is having this ongoing awareness and this willingness to say, yes, I still have things to grow in. I still have areas in my life that I know God needs to work on. What about you? Like if you were to ask one of your closest Christian friends and say, ask them, you know, what do you think? Am I characterized by an attitude of wanting to grow? Am I characterized by knowing that I've still got so much more to grow in? I mean, perhaps that's a quick way of losing a friend, but that's the kind of question that might help us think, what is our heart doing this morning? And all this spiritual wisdom and understanding of growing in God, you see, it's not just encouraged here for the sake of knowledge itself. No, the purpose is for it to internalize, to transform our hearts. And that transformed heart is to lead to a transformed life. Paul goes on continuing on in verse 10 to show us what this transformed life really looks like. It says, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. What Paul really is gifting us with here is this wonderful picture of a life transformed by his Holy Spirit. This power, this glorious might, where does it come from? Well, it comes from God. God is the one who's filling up our glass of our soul with his goodness, with his Spirit. And yet this is something that I think it can be easy to forget in practice. Now, it can be so easy to fall into the pitfall of believing that, you know, it's really up to us and our good efforts, our sheer use of willpower to grow and to achieve this. But friends, the same good news that saves us is the same good news that matures us. When it comes to the things that God is yet to complete in you and I, as we said before, there's a need for us to acknowledge areas in our life that we still need to grow in. But actually, simply acknowledging these things, admitting that we have this internal need, that's only half the battle. Because once you do that, then you've got to potentially deal with the fallout of that, of potentially falling into being discouraged. Maybe for you, your problem is not so much acknowledging your sin or weakness, but it's being discouraged by your sin or weakness. Maybe for you, you haven't actually really been able to hold your head above water, as they say, during this crisis, the way you would hope and that you thought you would have. A recent survey suggests that this particular survey said 35% of people said, I'm putting on a brave face, but privately, I'm really worried. That's in relation to the pandemic. In this same survey, 1 in 4 people said that they're extremely concerned by their circumstances. Now, you know, that may or may not reflect our church community in particular, but it does show that there is widespread impacts in different ways right across the board that we're facing as a nation, as a people, because of what's going on in our world. Maybe for you, your faith in God has actually been quite rattled. You haven't found yourself to be as strong in God as you thought you were. Maybe you can barely look yourself in the mirror because of how far you still need to grow. If that is you this morning, you need to hear the same good news, that it's ultimately not up to you, that you can't do it by yourself, but that the power to live for God comes from Him. What you need is God to fill you up, to empower you and grant you everything you need by the powerful work of His Spirit, to give you that peace and that rest for your tired and weary soul, to fill you up with renewed endurance, patience, and joy, knowing that He is ever ready to help you and I and sustain you in this present hour. I ask again, how is your heart going this morning? I say, pray for this, yearn for it, ask God and our gracious Father, in His perfect way, in His perfect time, He will give it to you. So what is this good news that the Christian is both saved and matured with? Paul finishes this prayer of petition with this powerful proclamation of the gospel. Let's continue reading from verse 12. It says, they're giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, in the person of Jesus Christ, God's kingdom burst onto the scene 2,000 years ago. Here this kingdom is described as the realm of light. Why light? Well, it's a kingdom ruled by the perfect King, by God Himself. And not just that, this perfect rule is full of justice and righteousness and perfect love. It's a kingdom that all God's people are now part of, being purchased by the blood of Jesus, shed for us on the cross. And by taking the penalty of sin on the cross for us, Jesus Himself guaranteed our inheritance for all eternity, life with God and joy in Him. He redeemed us from the domain of darkness, the domain that is ruled by Satan, sin, and death. And yet this kingdom, it's yet to come to full fruition, to fully mature and blossom. You see, in this life, in many ways we get glimpses along the way, even in our own life, where perhaps when we first came to faith, or particular times where you know how God's come through for you. We see massive glimpses of this kingdom bursting, continuing to burst into this world. And yet at the same time, we seem to see so much darkness still present in our world. Right now, this is true of the present day. There's widespread human suffering and feelings of hopelessness. Friends, this is the reason why this same message is what you and I still need to hear today. Indeed, the whole world needs to hear that there is a mighty King on the throne in heaven. And by placing your faith and trust in Jesus, your future becomes secured. Indeed, the only true and sure bedrock that there is in this life is to gain assurance and hope in the coming of God's eternal kingdom in all its glory and all its fullness. And by fixing our eyes on Him and what He has secured for us in the cross, we will be strengthened during this crisis. And friends, in the end, you and I will be better for it. So I close with this. What about you? Where is your hope this day? Is it in Christ and Christ alone? My prayer and hope that is true. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You so much that You have redeemed us. That on the cross, in Your Son, in the work of Jesus Christ, that You bore our sin, our penalty of death that we should have received, and you took that upon yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you count us as one of your saints, one of your children, through faith in you. And I pray, Lord, that this reminder here in Colossians 1 would be an encouragement to each of us. Father, we confess that we still have so much to grow in you, and that it's sometimes difficult to trust you in all these circumstances. And particularly in today's circumstance, it can be hard to fully trust you and have assurance of what you've done for us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would pour out abundantly your gift of grace and love and mercy on your people, that you'd sustain us in this hard time, and even if it is difficult for a time, that we would be better in the end because of what you're doing in us during this time. Please strengthen our faith, and please help us fix our eyes on Jesus and the amazing hope that we have in the future in our life of eternity with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.